This is HPR episode 2965 for Friday, the 13th of December, 2019. Today's show is entitled Instant Feedback for Students in Maths. It's hosted by Benny, it's 40 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is how we use old CAS software to give students instant feedback in their maths homework.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Okay, hi. We're still at the Oak Camp. My name is Benny.
Hi, Benny.
We're here for HPR. Here with me is
Ken Fallon.
And this is kind of weird because he's doing an interview with me, but I had to start for this to be my show. So that's me handing over to Ken to ask the questions. So
okay. So as we were talking, it became obvious that you were a math teacher.
I was a math teacher, and that's where this whole project and the conversation started. So yeah, I was a math teacher until the summer.
Okay. So you're putting together a website. Well, this is a project of somebody else, so it's not open source, it's not whatever, but I still thought it would be an interesting topic for you to talk about what you're doing. And it's, so you're doing this where?
So yeah, this, as you
tell
said,
us what you're doing.
Yeah, as you said, this is not my idea originally. I just came to the project later. That's why it's not open source and stuff. And we still try to make money, barely pays for the bills. But the basic idea is my friend who actually had the idea for the project is also a math teacher, and we always had the problems that students weren't so good at solving equations and doing all this manipulation of mathematical expressions. So we thought it would be a good idea to have a web application where a teacher can hand out an exercise sheet and then students start solving the exercises. But instead of just solving the exercises and getting the first step wrong and then handing it back to the teacher, and the teacher goes like, well, that's wrong. So the application marks basically every step.
Okay, so like, give me a pi. Einstein's theory of relativity is E equals mc squared. So the student would have to solve E equals mc squared, and then they put in E multiplied by, or E divided by C squared, and it's wrong. And then they continue doing the calculation, and they get 42 at the end when that's not the right answer. And I was expressing how frustrated I found if I made a simple, you know, a numerical fault, but I got the process of taking the equation and extrapolating it out, if I got that right, I would still, depending on the teacher, either get 90% or 0%. So your solution aims to help that.
Yes. Well, of course, it doesn't know what E equals mc squared means, right?
Yeah.
Is it E mc squared? No, it's not c squared. That doesn't matter. Thankfully,
I'm not recording the show, so you have to edit it. You're the one editing.
I'm not a physics teacher, so I don't have to know. And that's the point, that the application doesn't make sense of what the teacher puts in there. It just knows the mathematical rules behind solving equations and mathematical expression manipulation.
So how does that work?
We're basically using Maxima, which is a computer algebra system in the back I'm not sure whether it started in the 80s or the 70s. Written in Common Lisp. And this was basically where I came into the project, because that's the hard part, to make something that is written in Common Lisp speak to a modern web application. Yeah. So when my friend started off, what he did, he wrote a PHP script that would start Maxima every time a student enters an equation or a step of the equation. So it starts that Maxima quits it again each time. So obviously this doesn't scale. So
you're going to have 42 kids in the class or something, 32 kids in the class.
Well, this is Switzerland, so it's 20 kids in a class. But
ooh, let's all move to Switzerland, why don't we?
But still, I mean, we have multiple teachers using this, and usually students do their homework in the evening at, I don't know, 12 at night or something. Where was I going with this?
It's a running one instance per
step. Yeah, exactly.
Tell people what happens here. You put in a formula at the beginning, and then what happens?
Oh, wait.
Okay, that's fine. No, it's fine. Carry on.
All right. So, well, first, obviously, it has to be parsed. So it's passed on to the parser that does the parsing of the expression. And then it's passed on to Maxima, which now runs as a service. And then basically does the whole evaluation of whether it's correct or not, and then hands the result back to the application, which displays it in...
In cool JavaScript.
Exactly. That's about it.
So give me an example of what you might resolve, and then the steps. Visualize it. You're sitting in front of the...
All right. I mean...
Which we're not. We're in the lobby of the hotel at Alcamp, but just by the way.
Honestly, I didn't write the functions in Maxima. That's my friend's work. So I don't exactly know what functions in Maxima are called.
No, but I mean, so, if you write a mathematical function.
So, for example, you let's say we have 2x equal 3, and now the student says, well, if I divide this by 2, I get x equals 3 divided by 2.
Yeah.
I mean, now this is parsed first the left hand side and the right hand side of the equation, then it's parsed in how would you call the operations, as in two numbers and then divided by is an operation. The end you have this syntax tree, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then from this we again extract the a formula for Maxima, which Maxima understands, and then passes on to Maxima to handle. And the interesting part for me...
And what if it's wrong?
Sorry?
What if it's wrong? What happened? What does the student see?
The student, the student just says, just sees a red circle or a green tick.
Yeah.
And the red circle means it's not correct, and the green tick means it's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't give more feedback. It just gives the feedback as correct or wrong. So the student can try again and try again. Mm-hmm. And basically, to give more feedback is then the teacher's job, who can comment on each step.
But say it's a complex equation. You can... So you're doing you simplify the equation in 10 steps, as you're supposed to show your work. If you do it in simple steps, then Maxima can jump in and tell you, well, that part was right. Okay, now moving on to the next one. Well, that part was wrong. And you can fix that and then try it again and then continue on and eventually extrapolate your equation, maybe getting one or two steps wrong. But is that correct for a start?
Well, yeah, more or less. Of course, when you get one step wrong, the next step will also be wrong, because it always compares to the last correct step. Right, so you have to find a next step that's correct.
Oh yeah,
to move
obviously.
On,
right? Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
can't just have one wrong step and then every step is correct again.
But so. you get you multiply, instead of multiplying 2 by 3, you add them, and then the next time, right, that's incorrect. So I will multiply 2 by 3, and now it's correct, and you can proceed further.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Of course, it's a student's job to split this up in simple steps.
Yes,
the student could do one huge step that includes everything. But then it's called Matraxy, by the way. It would just say, well, it's wrong, right? Yeah. Then it's a student's job to understand that he or she should split this up in simple steps.
So working from the outside in, dividing by thingy, transposing things over to the other side, and showing your work, essentially. Yeah, so I thought it was a really good idea. And you guys are doing this, is this a full-time job or not? No, it's just something you're doing part-time?
Not at all. So we both work full-time jobs. Yeah, so it's basically just a spare time, like hobby that pays for itself, right? Yeah. But we do sell it to Swiss schools. So right now, we don't even have a website. So all the marketing is done face-to-face, people we meet, and people, teacher tell other teachers from other schools in the Swiss community. So now we don't really plan to expand that much because, well, unless it just happens, right? Yeah. And we can accommodate with our day jobs, because if we expand, of course, it's more work.
And then it needs to pay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good project, cool.
The interesting part, I'll just tell this because I found
it's your show after all.
I found this interesting.
Essentially a mic stand here.
I tried to hook up the Maxima to our application. I looked at the man page of Maxima and it said, well, it has this TCP interface. Yeah. And I thought, oh, well, great. I can start this up. It's it listens on a TCP socket and then I'll just send whatever.
Multiple stuff.
Yeah. And I just couldn't get this to work until I closely read the man page and realized it's not a TCP server, it's a TCP client. So you have to run a server and then you get Maxima to connect to this TCP server. So what we do now to the TCP, Maxima is then the client.
Yeah.
And Maxima connects to the server. Yeah, so now what we have is basically a web service, REST service written in, I think right now it's written in Go. The first try was in Python and then I rewrote it in Go because I thought Go would be cool, a cool language to learn. So, and what it does now, it basically has one HTTP interface and one TCP interface, and Maxima connects to the TCP interface, and on the other end we just send REST, a JSON.
And on the other side, you then track the OpenAPI connections. You track the REST the inbound connections on the REST side, and then there's only one connection from the application to the client.
I do have multiple instances of Maxima, and there is a queue. And those instances just work the queue, because we can't avoid that the student blocks one instance of Maxima.
Yeah.
Because we can't just exclude every case when the student could block one instance. So we have a timeout, which is, I don't know, 5 seconds, but we can't have the whole web application stand still for 5 seconds. So,
So at what point has the student, do they have to press enter and then it goes, or is it constantly?
We have a new version where the parser runs constantly.
Yeah.
So because the student doesn't enter a real math, well, it's real as in there is a language they have to use to enter the expression, like a computer algebra system. And we now have a version, it's not online yet, but we have a version where the parser does every single letter a character the student enters, it parses again and shows the student the result.
Yeah.
So the student knows what he's actually typing.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's really old school programming. It's like the old X server. you run the server and you connect to the client.
Yeah. I'm apparently not old enough to know this, right? That's why I had some problems figuring out it out. But now it works quite well. That I figured this out. At first, the Python version actually started Maxima as a CLI process and use standard in, standard out to communicate. That's actually the one that's still running on our production instance. And it works, but it's just not very nice.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.